You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Provides a breakfast, 9 o'clock, best one in town. They'll be having it this Saturday morning, and so we invite you to that. Also, let me say this, and you've been doing a great job with the butt cans. You really have. I appreciate that. But in a minute, when Brother Charles comes to sing our special music, when he starts, then everything else is shut out. We don't have any walking around. We don't get up and go to the restroom. We're all adults, most of us. A couple of you borderline, but but we can sit here for a little bit. We won't be here long, and so we won't be disturbing anybody. We'll just sit here, and we will appreciate that, just staying seated. But anyhow, thank you again for being here. You're singing good. We pray that your time will not be wasted here tonight, and we just pray that God would bless you. Thank you.
I wonder tonight, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secret? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees?
Has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long
since your heart knew
no burden? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cares for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that He'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day was worth living? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cares for you? And can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cares for you? We want you to know at the Rec Room, Jesus cares for you, each and every one of you. Brother Leland.
Thank you, Charles. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of John. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to the book of John, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. All right, good. They'll be coming around. Let me say this about these Bibles. If you don't have a Bible here with you, then you just keep this one. Let it be our gift to you. We want you to have one. If you're going to not take the Bible, would you put it on that table at the back of the room so we won't have to pick them up. There's a lot of cleaning up to do, and so if you'll help us, we would appreciate it. So just put them back there and we'll take care of them. We got some folks that'll do that, but feel free. We want you to have a Bible. You need to have a Bible. Don't leave home without it. And I want to talk to you tonight. I want to ask you this question. Do you think you'd like heaven? Now, don't be too quick to answer that, because we're going to experiment and examine some things. But do you think you'd like heaven? The word heaven is mentioned 582 times in this Bible. The word heavens is mentioned 133 times. The word heaven, when it's talked about in the Bible, you have to look at the context to see if it's talking about out here where the birds fly and the tall buildings reach to, or if it's talking about the stratosphere, the moon, the stars, or is it talking about where God is? God's home. Now, every time it talks about heavens, it always includes where God is, God's home. You go to the 14th chapter of John here, if you would, and while we're doing that, and I can give you these verses, you'd like to have them, but the first thing in the book of Genesis, one of the first things it tells us about heaven, that's where God is. And most of us are pretty familiar with that. We would recommend that. Also tells us that there's angels in heaven. Genesis 21. And the book of Jeremiah tells us there are the hosts of heaven that are without number. And then Isaiah said that Satan fell from heaven. Now, when people usually talk about heaven, when they preach about heaven, truth of the matter is, most of the time they don't preach about heaven at all. They talk about the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven in the book of Revelation. It's the place that's got streets of gold. It's the place that's got a wall of precious stones. It's the place that's got gates of pearl. It is a magnificent city. But that's not heaven. That comes down out of heaven. In fact, nothing much is written about the appearance of heaven. Nothing much is written about what we're going to do in heaven. Nothing much as far as details in the 66 books in the Bible, not much is told us about heaven. Somebody said, well, if God had, then everybody just killed himself so they go there as soon as they got saved. I don't know about that. But it's not there. I can tell you this, you won't sit on a cloud and strum a harp. I would like to be able to play an instrument. I remember Brother Charles has got some different guitars, and the first time I saw the one he had tonight was at the Smith Unit. You remember taking that to the Smith Unit over there in La Mesa? Yeah. Every time we went back over, them guys, I said, where's that guy with that orange guitar? They couldn't remember his name, but they knew what color his guitar was. But there's just not much given to us about heaven. But Jesus gave his disciples a little hint about this. And this is where we're going to... In chapter 14 of the book of John, verse 1 says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We live in some troubling times. We live in some times that just everything goes wrong, some it seems. But Jesus said to his disciples, and by the way, they're getting ready to go through the darkest days of their life. They're going to see their leader crucified. And it's going to look like that everything they thought right was wrong. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? He said, believe in me. Because he also told him, he said, I'm going to be dead, but I'm going to get up. I've often wondered, I think about the guy, you remember there was a fella that put Jesus in his tomb, went and got him, and he put him in his tomb, and I can just hear this guy's family talking about, because to some people, and they had these big tombs, and just like people have big, you go to the graveyard and you see these big old monuments, and sometimes it covers two or three people, and we've got all kinds of things. And I can just remember this guy going home at night after he put Jesus in the tomb, and his wife says, you did what? You put somebody in your tomb? What? We had that, we were going to be there side by side, and you already put somebody in your tomb? I mean, he said, oh, he ain't going to be there long. He ain't going to use it very long. Just going to use it, and no, ma'am, we don't run out. Okay. He won't use it. He'll be up in a couple of days or two. And sure enough, he was. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Father's house. Some of us, I can remember after I got married and going home, going to my daddy's house. And I'm going to tell you, the rules were still in effect at Daddy's house. He said, in my Father's house. You get in the Father's house, and you may not like it if you don't do what the Father says. Let me tell you something. If Las Vegas is kind of your Mecca, that's where you just love to go, then you're not going to enjoy heaven. You won't like it. If gambling and slot machines and blackjack tables are something that's just a thrill to you, you won't like heaven. There's not any. If pornography is something you just really like to watch, you won't like heaven. Remember the question, do you think you'd like heaven? If getting high turns you on. And let me tell you, the only reason anybody gets high is because they're unhappy. If you're satisfied with how you felt, you wouldn't change it. I've been there, done that. And in fact, if cocktails after dinner turns you on, then you won't like heaven. They don't have any. And the difference between a cocktail drinker and a beer drinker, between Budweiser and Cutty Sark or Chevy's, we're just a better class of loser. That's all the difference it is. If gospel music is boring to you, if the music we were singing tonight boring, you won't like heaven, because that's what they're going to sing. And then see happy people sing. Even some of us. So I mean, when things are good, we like. I love music. There's a lot of things that I've been asked to do in church, but I've never been asked to sing. One guy did tell me, "Why don't you just move your lips? Don't make any noise." And if you heard me sing, you'd know why they haven't invited me to sing. But if this new age, contemporary music turns you on, then you won't like heaven. If the new age, they cut the lighting, they make it dark. dark. They have mood music. And the lighting effects, to we're going to get in this mood. If that turns you on, you don't like it. Heaven's going to be bright. The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why for a few years, my pastor and former church came to me and he said, I want you to be a police chaplain. He was head of the police chaplains. And I said, I don't want to be a police chaplain. He said, you're going to be a police chaplain. I said, okay. But anyway, part of our training was to ride with the police. And I didn't want to go down there on a Friday afternoon and watch them give speeding tickets. One of the reasons, I was totally familiar with that. I knew all about that because I'd paid a bunch of them. So I decided I was the only one in the group. I was the only chaplain that wasn't full-time in a church. And so I'd go down on Saturday night at 10 o'clock and I'd ride to 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning. Let me tell you, there's another Odessa out there. My goodness, I came back, I told my pastor, I said, you need to not preach some Sunday morning and go ride on Saturday night. You want to see what's really out there. Whole different ballgame, because at night we do a lot of stuff that we're not going to do in the daytime. Years ago, I was with a company and we built medical and dental clinics for physicians and dentists. And we started working on burglar alarms. You know what the best deterrent for people, because folks would steal drugs from those places. They'd break into a doctor's clinic and steal drugs. The best thing we found was just light. Turn the lights on and people won't come. They're not going to come up where all the light is. Men love that darkness rather than light. I see some of it in our churches trying to have these different effects on things. Let me tell you, if dirty jokes turn you on, then you're not going to like heaven. On the other hand, if holiness turns you off, you're not going to like heaven. If Bible teaching is boring to you, if right now you're saying, well, I wish that old man get through so I can go have some more coffee or smoke another cigarette, then you won't like heaven. Because that's what you're... If living right is dull, boy, this is boring. Let me tell you something. When you get in the Father's house, you better act right. That's what we're going to have. In my Father's house, he said. And then he said, there are many mansions. Now, you ever think about mansions being in a house? You said, well, I don't think that's possible. How could mansions be in a house? Well, let me tell you something. In the 60s, we built a deal down in Houston, Texas called the Astrodome. The Astrodome was 18 stories high. So you could put some mansions in it. Covered 9.5 acres. And for the guy that was instrumental, it was kind of his house, as it were, by the name of Judge Roy Hoffines. And Judge Hoffines had him a home built in the Astrodome. And it was plush. It was way out, but it was plush. He had his own putting green. He had his own bowling alley. He had a shooting gallery. He had a puppet theater all in his house in the Astrodome. You could put a bunch of mansions in the Astrodome. He said, my Father's house, there are many mansions, and where I am, he said to his disciples, there you may be also. Let me tell you, to me, I think one of the things that I look forward to is just getting to see Jesus face to face. I drove in this town a drunk. I'd been through another bad divorce, and I don't know why I say it that way, because there's not any good divorces. I lost another good company. I don't know if the divorce cost me the company or the losing the company cost me the divorce. I rented the smallest U-Haul trailer you could rent in Houston, Texas, and it rattled all the way out here because I couldn't fill it up. I had two hard objects in it. I had a microwave, because single guys need that, and TV. Everything else was just my clothes and some books. And if somebody had come to me and said, Leland, you're getting ready to start the greatest years of your life, I'd have laughed in their face. I was on bottom. Now, I can tell you this about bottom. There's only one way to go. But because of prison, that turned out to be the greatest years of my life. I owe Jesus Christ everything. And one of these days, I'd just like to sit down and talk to him. And I'm going to get to do that. And I'm going to get to say to him, Lord, thank you. I can't believe what you've done for me. Because guy told me the other day after jail, he come running up to me, and sometimes the criminal justice system is just criminal and it has no justice. But he come running up to me and he said, Leland, he said, there's not any justice. And I said, thank God, man. I don't want justice. I don't even want mercy. I want grace is for the guilty. Mercy is for the innocent. Grace is for the guilty. I want that grace. And I think of all things in heaven is being with Jesus. Where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Look at that. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't know what that place is going to be, but he's been working on it a long time. It's probably going to be pretty nice, wouldn't you think? Been 2,000 years. I go to prepare a place, so I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, now listen carefully. Listen to the words of Jesus. He said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm a good way, best way, religious way, God's way. He said, I'm the way. The truth. There's a lot of different information floating around, but not all of it's true. Satan was a liar. He lied to our first parents, Adam and Eve. God said, you eat of the tree, you eat of that fruit, and you'll die. And Satan said, you won't either. God is lying to you. Jesus said that Satan was a liar and the father of it. How many times have we lied? He said, I'm the truth. You want the truth? You've been around, like I said, sometimes the criminal justice system doesn't have any justice in it at all. Just like a welfare system, one guy said, neither well nor fair. But Jesus said, I'm the truth. You want to get to real skinny? You get with Jesus Christ. And then he said, the life. the life, really living. Sometimes we think we're living it up. We've done our partying and all of those things, but the truth of the matter is, how many times have they ended in booking? How many times have they ended at the emergency room? How many times have they ended at the funeral home or the divorce court? Or we lost our children to protective services? How many times? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. I want you to bow your head for a moment. Do you think you'd like heaven tonight? I can tell you this, that it'll be the greatest place that you've ever been to if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm the way, he said. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here tonight. And you say, Leland, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I want to do that. I want to go to heaven. I'm not worthy to go to heaven, but I want to go to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you, sir. And you, yes. God bless you. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Yes, sir. And you just slip them back down after I recognize you. Anybody else? Real quick. We're going to pray. Yes, I see it. Yes, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? Now, here's going to be our prayer. And I want you, while I'm praying, to say, Lord Jesus, I just want to turn it over to you. I call on you. I want you to do whatever it takes for me to get to heaven. I trust you. I give you everything. I surrender to you. Our Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. And tonight, we know this, that you always say you've never turned an honest, sincere seeker down. You said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so, Father, tonight, I pray that in a moment, as we stand, that those that lifted their hand, and maybe some that didn't, but know that they need to trust you, that they step out and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Let's stand our feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Brother Charles is going to sing the very first verse, and I want you to come, and we'll have somebody here that explain it to you, show you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.